Right, so I'm just going to take a bit of time to talk about anatta, or the third characteristic. So anatta, A-N-A-T-T-A, is a Pali word, and Pali is the language that apparently the Buddha spoke in and taught in, and that all of the teachings were first remembered in, and then sort of written down in. There's a big story behind that, which I won't get into. But in any event, so that's that. And the thing is, some of these Pali and Sanskrit words have translated down into our everyday discourse. How many people use the word karma? It's pretty common. Namaste. These are pretty common words these days. And we've been working with the term dukkha, and I've been hearing you saying it. So sometimes different languages have their special ways of saying things that are not fully translatable. And this is definitely one of them. However, the best definition is usually not self. Before I go into the other expressions for it, I think it's really important to realize that when you first did mindful living or MBSR or whatever, you actually worked with this characteristic. It was implicit in the teachings. And whether you learned inviting in a difficulty using the rain practice or not, it was still implicit in it when the teacher would talk about being not identified with an experience, with a thought, with an emotion. And the N of rain is the non-identification piece. So I think that's important because it really helps our learning. We have a place to hook it into. Oh, right, it's that. So it's not some weird mystical thing. This is very practical tool for practice. And then the key to it is that the not-self characteristic is not something to be learned from reading or listening and so forth. That's extra. It's something to be discovered and known from your direct experience, from your practice, from the living of your life. And most importantly, the intention with this characteristic, as with the other two, is to relieve suffering. So that's very important, so not to ever lose sight of that. That's why we're studying this. That's why we're practicing with this, to relieve suffering and distress. Now, there are a number of different terms you'll come across when you read, when you listen about anatta. You will hear not-self, but you'll also hear non-self. I have one wonderful teacher who always says not-self, and I have an equally wonderful teacher who always says non-self, and they both have their reasons. I'll hear Joseph Goldstein use the expression selfless. You'll hear others talk of things being empty of self or devoid, empty of an inherent self or an inherent nature. And of course, we've also already talked about not identified, so that's the pointing to anatta. And another one which I find quite useful is impersonal. And so perhaps we'll get into that way of expressing it. The idea here is that the third characteristic is it's showing us that what we usually take to be ourselves, our self, is insufficient or simply not self. It's not all of who we are. It's not the whole story. And the sense that, and as we practice, this is very important, that we are more than our bodies, we are more than our thoughts and our emotions and our perceptions, we're more than the affective tone of things, the feeling tone. We're more than our consciousness. And some of you may recognize it. I just named The Five Aggregates, which is a whole other workshop, which we did 2 years ago. But often in life, we will cling to our bodies or our thoughts or our perceptions, emotions, and so forth. We'll cling to them for a sense of who we are, for self-definition. And so as we practice, we can start to notice how it's erroneous, but also it creates a lot of suffering. I think it's also important to be aware that another translation of anatta that you will come across is no self. And it's fallen out of favor and use by most teachers, although you will still see it by very good teachers. And the reason why it's fallen out of use is because most agree that it's confusing and it's not an accurate translation. And here's the cruncher, is that people will often think when they hear no self, they'll think, well, what, I don't exist? Nobody exists? There's nothing? And that's not true. So no one's saying that no one exists. Obviously, we're all here, separate beings, and the floor is here, the tables are here. There are all these entities. And it's just that what we think of as who we are is not the whole story. It's more. The other piece around this is that people will say, well, are you saying there's no soul? And if there's no soul, then there's no God, or there's no afterlife, and all of this kind of concern. No one is saying that either. We can't make statements about a soul or about God or an afterlife, metaphysical, ontological statements through this practice. It's like using science to say that there is or there isn't a God. That's completely erroneous. It's just, these are different avenues of inquiry, and we can't use this practice to make those statements. So, you know, if having a faith in a soul, in a God, or whatever it may be is important for you, and it's something that you know deeply, well, good, you know that deeply, and just be with that, don't let this practice confuse you on that. And we can talk more about that if as need be. So no one or this practice is not questioning any religious beliefs whatsoever. And I would say, as I wrote here, don't believe in anatta or not self. Don't believe in it. That would be not wise at all. It's the idea is to investigate it, see if it's true for you, see if it relieves you of suffering by investigating it. Alrighty, so here I'm going to really need my notes here. So what does the not self point to? So not self is part of the three characteristics or the three marks of existence. Those are synonyms. And goes in hand with the other two, impermanence and dukkha. Okay? And it was important that we study the other two first, because by studying impermanence and by seeing that things are constantly changing, that helped us to see the second characteristic, that things are therefore unreliable and unsatisfactory. It logically follows. We can know this, we can experience this. And that's then true for the third characteristic. So from noticing impermanence especially, we can appreciate that all things and experiences are not solid, that they are actually in flow. And as we inquire more, we can also notice that everything is contingent or conditional. Nothing exists independent of anything else. And that's something we can keep checking out. And with that insight, things in flow, things being conditioned, that helps us to appreciate that everything is connected. Which is another way of saying devoid of a separate self. There's no one thing that exists independent of another. And that's the interbeing that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about. And here's a lovely quote from Martin Luther King Jr., Christian theologian, and he points to this too. And he, when he said or wrote, probably both, he said and wrote, "All life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied together into a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. Before you finish eating breakfast in the morning, you've depended on more than half the world. This is the way our universe is structured. This is the interrelated quality. We aren't going to have peace on Earth until we recognize the basic fact of the interrelated structure of all reality." So then he's taking it further, but the implications of, he's describing the third characteristic as he understands it from his Christian understanding of things. And so we've already been investigating the third characteristic. We were investigating it when you did mindful living, and some of you did mindful living grad at other times. And we've already been investigating it here when we were looking at impermanence, because just looking at impermanence just shows it, just shows that flow. And then the other way is to really notice how things are conditioned. One thing conditions another. Nothing stand, and then that leads to the nothing standing alone, the interconnection, the web of life. And at the bottom of this sheet, I encouraged you to kind of keep track of all the different exercises and practices we do here, and how they point to the third characteristic, and most importantly, how that practice and that doing of it relieved you of some suffering, because that's always the intention, the relief of suffering. Yeah, so personality, that's definitely one of the ways in which we can define ourselves, and I agree with you that we can create a lot of difficulty for ourselves when we cling to our personality as defining us. There's no doubt that we all go through life behaving characteristically, and yet, you know, we all have our certain set of characteristic responses to things, you know, what our sense of humor is like and what our interests are, and so on. And yet we've also all noticed that over our lifetimes that's changed. Personality changes, yeah? And then someone might say, yeah, but I still feel like I'm the same person I was when I was 9 or 16 or maybe even younger. So that's that sense of within this tradition, insight practice, that's that sense of the consciousness being the defining piece. And yet we can also inquire about how consciousness changes. For example, who are you when you're asleep? do not exist when you're asleep. Or if you fall and hit your head and you're unconscious, or you're under anesthetic, do not exist. Is there nobody there? It gets interesting, yes? Obviously, there's still a being there, right? So consciousness as, the ultimate defining piece is obviously insufficient. So this inquiry into not self isn't so much telling us who we are as pointing to the different ways in which we cling to parts of our experience and how that clinging to those different parts of our experiences gives rise to a lot of suffering. And that when we let go of clinging to those different parts, something happens. And maybe you've already experienced some kind of liberation when you've let go from a sense of who you are in terms of personality, or a sense of who you are in terms of the one who knows, I know, or when you've let go of clinging to a perception, a belief about something, a view, or when you've let go of your body being a certain way and still respect yourself, even though the body's aging or is not as healthy as it might have been. So the characteristic as we inquire around it can open us up into a larger sense of who we are. And it is not for me to say what that is. That is for each one to inquire and have discovery around. So last but not least is the importance of practice for this exploration, and to bring your questions, your confusions around the not-self characteristic into the practice and see what's there. And of course, I'm going to help you. Okay. So I think that's it for now.